Welcome to Real Flix Reviews. We're like a book club where people hate reading. This month they're doing Grab Bag, so James picked the movie Shoot 'Em Up, made in 2007, along with Legion Season 1, Episode 1. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens,
Hello.
And Ryan Preston. Here's a description of Shoot 'Em Up, made in 2007. A man named Mr. Smith delivers a woman's baby during a shootout and is then called upon to protect the newborn from the army of gunmen. But time out. Nobody called him. Nobody talked to him. He just grabbed the baby and ran. His life would have been a lot easier if he just said, fuck the kid.
Yeah.
I like the movie. I give it a 3 out of 5. I do like the fact there's not a lot of explosions in this movie. Usually with guns, there's always explosions.
They're car wrecks.
Yeah, but there's no big giant booms like there usually is in a Hollywood movie. Like, you hit a gas tank or an oil tank or where the fuck it was. Usually it's followed by an explosion in most Hollywood movies.
Blow all the pilot lights out, turn on the gas, light a time flare.
Paul Giamatti paid a perfect jerk.
Oh, yeah.
So strong 3 out of 5 for me. James?
You know, this one will always be one of my favorites, so it's got to be a 4 out of 5. I mean, I just love the fact of how straightforward this movie is. Ryan?
I am absolutely a fan as well. It's got some of my all-time favorite scenes and one of my girlfriend's all-time favorite scenes with the blinker.
Oh, wait.
But no, solid 4 out of 5. I mean, it landed all the things that it was going to. I'm a fan of the genre that it was kind of spoofing in general. But the inspiration for it was a Chow Yun-Fat movie. Hmm. And I can't remember the one that it was, but there was a scene where he saved a baby. And just based off of that, he's like, oh, well, what about a whole movie where a guy's running around with a baby like a football?
So, question for you guys. Death by teacup or death by carrot?
Dude, he was pretty badass at those carrots. I mean, maybe they're organic, and that's why they went through the back of the dude's head.
I thought that was hilarious. Just like, it's like, wow, death by vegetable.
I'm just, for the record, take it from me. You want GMOs when it comes to stabbing somebody with carrots.
That's a good point, yeah. You want those fibers compacted.
You want the big beefy ones, you know.
And I
none of this shitty organic farming tiny-ass carrot thing.
I do love the fact that they carried his love for carrots in the one scene with Paul Giamatti when they were doing the Looney Tunes impressions. Oh, yeah. I was like, that was pretty good. Being a comedy anyways, this movie went out of left field.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, this movie is a cartoon. This is Bugs Bunny and Elmer fucking Fudd.
Yeah.
And meets a very interesting hooker.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to jump in this one. You know, my first thing is, like, I mean, it's all in the title, what you would expect out of this movie. It really is. I mean, and that's one of the things that I love about this one is Shoot 'Em Up. That's literally what the whole entire movie is about.
And the only backstory about any of the characters is supposition by Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, and it's not even verified by Clive Owen. As far as I'm concerned, this is, like, where the mindless action films of the early to mid-90s was leading up to. I mean, you got humor, you got guns, you got death, you got crappy puns, a cheesy bad guy. I mean, it's just fun. And, I mean, even he's just cynical and hates everything, and I love that, too. I mean, like, when he's driving along and he's, like, doing his blinker, like we kind of mentioned before, or the asshole parks in the handicap spot.
I love
that. He's like, you know what I hate? Everything.
Oh, by the way,
I don't hate you yet.
That was another really good little scene. It's like after he drove away, Paul Giamatti's character came out and looked at the handicap sign and looked at the ground and just kind of smiled. And this movie's really quotable and hilarious. Like, my favorite little bit of tidbit I found was the lady got spanked by Clive Owen was really excited about it.
Oh.
It's like, that's hilarious.
Yeah. You could actually almost see it on her face. Like, I'm not totally against this.
And I also love the fact the hooker's initials are DQ. That made me laugh.
Right. But yeah, the whole movie was very self-aware, you know, and very fun. But it really is that throwback to the 90s action movies. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, I was used to watch movies with my parents, and they didn't really try to censor me on the kind of stuff that we watched. But my mom didn't like action movies, so when she was out of town or something, my dad would look at me like, hey, let's go get a good shoot 'em up movie. And that was literally the term that everyone used to describe this type of movie. So like James said, when it comes out, you know right on the face of it what you're getting yourself to. But then the humor that's laid into it also, it's not just a bunch of people dying. It's, you know, really good one-liners and awesome characters like Mr. Smith and I can't think of Giamatti's character's name.
Oh, I can't either right now on the top of my head.
And this uses pretty much every action movie cliche, like being able to hit everybody no matter what angle, almost unlimited ammunition, magazines popping out of nowhere for Walter PPK.
Yeah.
That made me laugh. It's like, wait a minute, where did he get that extra two magazines? Because you literally see him changing them.
Yeah. And that was one of the things I appreciate.
He called it a piece of shit because it jammed.
Yeah. You know, I mean, this one with the title, I mean, it reminds me, and this may be why it's got such a fond spot in my heart, is the fact, I mean, it reminds me of Payback. I mean, a very simple title, and you knew what you were getting. The guy's going out for revenge. He's paying these assholes back.
See, unlike, I would say this one is kind of like Payback, except for the fact that I think he's really just doing it to do it.
Yeah.
He's almost like a broke, poor hero.
Yeah.
It's like, I haven't killed anybody lately. These guys look fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like I have nothing else to do right now, so I guess I'll go do this.
And he's apparently really angst-ridden, so it helps him get out his anger, like hitting guys with ponytails.
And then blew the ponytail off the back of his head. That was awesome.
God.
Yeah, dude, I mean, they really did do every trope you've ever seen in an action movie almost in fucking order.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, Clive Owen plays a character that he's really easy to love, even though he's cynical. He's a jerk. He doesn't really care about much, you know?
No.
Yeah, especially not caring about giving a baby permanent hearing damage.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my favorite scene is when he's got the baby in the bulletproof vest, and then he goes sliding down the things, holding the baby and shooting.
Okay. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of sliding and shooting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the oil slick that he slid on, that was a lot of oil.
I was actually expecting him to light it on fire or something. The other scene, I don't know why I thought it was funny, but just his relationship with that hooker was when he walked out of the pawn shop. Where'd she go? And he saw that guy lean up and slammed his fingers. And she's like, you know, it's like, what are you doing? Making money.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
What else is she going to do?
It leaves the baby in a box.
Yeah, there was a lot of leave the baby right here while I do this thing.
Yeah.
What's great is that was a real newborn.
Yeah.
You know, obviously not for the sliding through things and shooting, but like the scenes they just got a newborn.
Yeah. According to IMDb, they actually timed it right, so it'd be born by the time they needed it.
Oh, wow.
It's like, that's hilarious.
They found a mother that was going to deliver about the same time as the shooting began.
Yeah.
By the way, from my personal experience, I wonder how late that kid was. Because you can't really plan a movie around somebody giving birth.
I mean, unless it's a C-section.
True.
And the skydiving scene. Oh, my God. I mean,
so funny. Oh, my
I was
God.
Thinking, like, right off the bat, I mean, this movie doesn't believe in ricochets. And those rounds are going somewhere.
But yeah, well, like how he fired that, forgot the handgun, but in the airplane, in the belly of the airplane, just shot the dude right in the head.
Yeah.
I like the fact he kills a senator or something, and nobody ever goes after him. Like, well, the dude was a douche.
Yeah, pretty much. That's kind of how they treated that whole section. It's like, we don't really care.
I wish they explained, did they ever explain who Paul Giamatti actually was and he worked for?
No. Well, they made it. He worked for the gun manufacturers.
Because it was almost like he was like the grandson, the great great grandfather of the character from Mad Max.
Oh,
you know, because of all the babies.
Yeah,
it was just like, what the hell? All these children and the nurses and bottles
and sperm samples.
Yes, what is happening? Oh, the ice cream is melting.
He's a very generous donor.
God, the movie's hilarious. My wife wasn't a giant fan.
I didn't think she was
going to
be.
She actually was
cursing my name the whole time.
Yeah, actually the last couple of James's picks. Like, who picked James?
Damn it.
I've never heard her sigh at somebody's name so much in my life.
I might have to actually pick some good ones for her.
Wait until Ryan picks tentacle porn again.
We're doing Dark City?
Hey, I think I'm going to be vindicated on that one in the future.
In the way distant future.
In the year 3000.
I mean, because that and Buffalo 66 got you some down marks.
I'll be completely
Conan reference.
Yeah, I'll be completely honest. I'd rather watch Buffalo 66. I actually kind of like that movie compared to Super. But I also hate Rainn Wilson with a passion of a thousand.
Yeah,
signs.
I mean, you can't get raped by a chick that hot. It just doesn't happen. I'm sorry.
Oh God. The other part I really, really loved was the ending. Just because, like, he literally hurt everybody. That's like a bunch of things he hated. He just, like, blew off the dude's earring, shot the dude in the, was it the foot?
Yeah.
Broke the glass of the guy slurping his milkshake, which, by the way, how do you actually slurp a milkshake?
You got to get down to the end of it first.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, it's got to be something like that.
God, it was just such a funny movie, and this is kind of definitely an action movie spoof, which I'm totally for them doing. I want, like, an M. Night Shyamalan spoof. Not him doing it, but everybody spoofing him. And not like in those stupid, scary, not-so-scary movies, like actually something good and fairly intelligent. So never mind,
I don't think you're holding out much, gonna be holding out a lot of hope for that.
Oh, yeah. I'm holding out as much hope as M. Night Shyamalan stopped directing movies.
Well, I mean, I would, if I was to pick a director that could actually do a really funny and hilarious spoof off of Shyamalan, Lollipop, Ding Dong, whatever the hell I want to call him, would be Mel Brooks. Can't think of anyone else that would be able to do it.
The thing about Shyamalan is there's not anything to his movies other than average movie, weird little twist at the end. So that's the only way you can spoof it.
And his twist is so predictable. So we'll talk about this.
Maybe the Wayans brothers as well could probably do a decent one. But they haven't done a decent film in so long.
The problem is they're responsible for those.
I'm not talking about White Chicks. I'm talking about the first Scary Movie.
That one still sucked.
It was pretty funny for what it was. Let me get that with my strong hand.
I gotta admit,
I got
it was,
Ryan on that one.
It was pretty funny in how one of the Wayans brothers died in that.
In
the bathroom.
They had funny moments, and then what about Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking juice in the hood? I mean, come on.
Yeah, for sure. But see, that's
and that is a title for people who don't know.
You have a black growing up in the hood movie. There's tropes throughout that movie that you can make fun of throughout the spoof, but Shyamalan is just regular movie twist.
Before we get on a tangent here. Anymore, like I said, we might talk about this more.
Yeah, we have to
on the next show.
See about our ratings now.
So I'm still gonna give it a 3.5. I found it entertaining for me. It doesn't have a whole lot of rewatchability. I do like some of the random crappy pulls, like firing bullets with no gun just by holding it to a fireplace. Not really. Possible, not 100% possible. Still pretty good.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Sticking with before. I'm a fan of the genre, and I like what they did with it. And yeah, you can't show this to everybody.
Yeah.
But it is a fun movie, even for people who might not only watch action movies. You know.
I'm sticking with a 4. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this is a fun movie with a lot of rewatchability.
So do you love us, hate us? We do have a Facebook page. How about telling us if there's a movie you want us to do, or if there's some interesting movie news you'd like us to talk about? The other thing is you can now catch us on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and more. So we did Season 1, Episode 1 of the new TV show Legion, and it feels kind of like an independent movie, and it's very disjointed.
You know, I kind of went into this one pretty cold. I knew what it was about. And, you know, the first, like, 45 minutes of it really dragged. But I do like how they went so in-depth on what was going on.
So the question is, at the end of it, is it going to be like Shutter Island and the end of the Bob Newhart show?
No.
No, it absolutely isn't. This is part of the really extended Marvel universe. It's part of the New Mutants, which I never really got into when they came out. So I only had a very, very simple knowledge of who Legion
Same
is.
Here.
Okay, so I've never heard of it.
But Legion is major spoiler alert here. If anybody's looking into seeing this in 3, 2, 1, it's Charles Xavier's son.
Yeah. Is it the one he had with Moira Taggart?
No, not with McTaggart. No, it was another woman who he had sort of had an affair with.
Yeah.
At a certain point, she hid the pregnancy from him, and he never knew. But yeah, he's Xavier's son, and he's kind of insane, but also the reason he's called Legion is because he has so many multiple personalities controlling different powers that he has.
Yeah.
It's
actually really interesting. But
I've never heard the character. That's interesting.
I mean, what about you, Ryan? Like, once I figured out exactly where they were going with it, and I mean, did you get excited?
I was very excited, but also I was really intrigued watching the first 45 minutes.
Yeah.
About 20 minutes in, you get this weird little taste of like, oh, this is going to get crazy in a big way, you know?
But
I was totally in with the how crazy is he, what does he know, what does he doesn't, what does he not know. And then when you see the interview happening with the guys, the brown version of Anthony Jeselnik,
they kind of saying that on air
a little bit for the rest of the season, and it gives you this peak that really piqued my interest.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, how cool was it when he got the pencil to go right in a dude's cheek? That was pretty badass. Yeah.
That was good stuff.
I was amazed how disjointed that the first 45 minutes are. I mean, I know why they do it.
But that goes into his psyche, really.
The thing that was curious is how many people complained about that.
There was a lot.
See, I didn't know this was a Marvel thing. Is this on an Alphabet channel?
No.
No.
FX?
Sci-fi.
Okay, because I was trying to figure out, because I'm surprised this isn't a Netflix
I think it's sci-fi.
Right? You know, another online purveyor.
I'm looking.
Okay.
I do love some of the random stuff, like the part where he woke up on that one chick's body. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Especially the fact when he walked up to the mirror going.
Yeah, but I mean, for people who are just going to come into this cold, I don't think it's a good one to show them cold without kind of giving them a hint as to what's going on. I knew where the show was going to go, but it was kind of coming in cold, not really knowing exactly what to expect.
When you picked it, I had no idea this was. I didn't know it was a Marvel property. I didn't even know this was based off of anything. So when I watched it, it was just kind of like, this is very weird, kind of vaguely a little bit. I can see a little bit of like Clockwork Orange, a little bit of this. It's like I'm interested in where the series goes, but the first episode to me, I definitely wasn't a fan of. I'll definitely have to watch the second episode just to see where they actually take it.
Oh,
that's funny. I mean, I am already really, really looking forward. It's FX, by the way.
Is it
really
FX?
Looking
okay.
Forward to it. I was surprised how immediately endeared I was to Dan Stevens, to David Haller, the character. You know, I thought the guy that played him, Dan Stevens, was great and immediately likable, and you're kind of immediately on his side, and also with all the sort of, as John put it, the sort of the disjointed imagery, you're in his head.
Yeah.
You know, in a very interesting way, and not in a really like where you feel like you're going crazy too, but you feel like you understand where he's coming from.
The guy reminded me a lot of Topher Grace from that 70s show. I don't know why, but the whole time I'm like, wow.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just kind of, gee, Mom, can I stay in my old room for a bit?
That's the thing is, you know, you almost kind of like him acting the way he does because he's like, look, I might be crazy. I understand that. You know, and it's almost how you know, I think if somebody told us that we were crazy and they gave us evidence of that, I'd be like, well, shit, I guess you're right. I guess I am crazy, you know? And so it was, I really kind of immediately liked him. I'm a huge fan of Aubrey Plaza. So I was happy to see her doing TV like that.
So we definitely give this a must see, even though a little bit of caveat. If you're having somebody watch them, give them a heads up of how odd the first episode is.
Yeah.
And next,
I don't know about that. I would actually say throw them in cold. Don't even tell them it's Marvel. You know what I mean? Mm. Especially for people who might be a little watered down with all of the superhero things.
I would say if they're a fan of the genre, throw them in head first. But if it's like, say, your girlfriend who's not really into these type of movies, there's a good chance she's going to hate you for making her watch this.
I disagree. I think that after that first 40 minutes or so, you're kind of intrigued in a way that's not in the superhero side of everything.
Well, we'll have to test it on somebody. So, ladies and gentlemen, next week is Ryan's pick. So, Ryan, you're up.
Okay. I know we've just watched 1,000 people get shot the last few weeks of us picking movies. So, I decided to dial it back to where only a handful of people get shot. I'm picking Collateral. And I just had the damn thing up, and I don't remember when it was.
I'm just impressed James isn't picking for you this time after the last month of that.
Do you have a TV show?
I gave it some thought 20 minutes before I did this. So Collateral 2004. For a handful of reasons. One, I like Michael Mann. He's the director. Done things like Heat, Public Enemies, Last of the Mohicans. Been around the game a long time, but it's interesting to watch one Tom Cruise taking a back seat to another actor.
Oh, that's right.
Definitely
not used to seeing him as a supporting role, and he very much is in this movie to Jamie Foxx.
As he jump on his couches.
And I love Jamie Foxx when he plays a regular guy.
Yeah, he does a good job.
Interesting cast. Tom Cruise, Jamie Foxx, Jada Pinkett Smith, Mark Ruffalo. Everybody knows him. Is Hulk. Interesting cast. Holy crap. Bruce McGill.
Huh? Yeah. Hell yeah. Good old Bruce McGill.
Damn. So
Time Cop's Bruce McGill.
I'm sorry. Just like, I haven't seen that dude in forever. If I remember correctly, he was on MacGyver. Ladies and gentlemen. Oh,
we didn't do a TV show. Ryan, did you want to pick one or do you want me to pull one up?
Just pull
it
up.
I didn't okay. get that one.
So we're going to do Labyrinth, which is a two-part mini-series, and we're going to be doing episode 1.1.
Fuck, I should have thought of something.
Yeah. Right?
So, ladies and gentlemen, next week we're doing the movie Collateral along with episode 1.1 of the TV mini-series Labyrinth for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. Thank you for watching.
Goodbye. I'm gonna go get some more.